You may be seated. God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today from our Father in heaven and from Jesus Christ, our Savior and brother. Amen. We've been talking about the road to the cross, His road and ours. We've talked about humility, truth, trust, duty, love. And this week, we're going to talk about His road of forgiveness. Forgiveness, I want to start out by saying, is really the only antidote that we have for sin and its effects. Think of a snake biting you, putting poison inside of you. And you need the right antidote for it, or you, what? Remember last 2 weeks ago? You die. Well, the one antidote that there is for sin, which breaks relationships, which kills us, kills our relationship with each other and our relationship with God and lands us in death and hell forever. Sin does these things, and the one antidote God gives for it is forgiveness. What a powerful, awesome thing that we have in this. So let's talk about that today, about His road of forgiveness and what God wants for you too. Because you can take this up like a mighty weapon and bring healing to yourself, to others, and in your relationship with God, as He has first wielded this on your behalf. Luke chapter 23, which we read it a moment ago, says, one of the thieves on the cross railed at Jesus. The other one said, "Do you not fear God? Since we are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly." In other words, we're pinned, we're nailed, we're hanging here because we deserve to be hanging here. And that's really the case with all of us. We deserve to be hanging on that tree. But look at the Lord's heart, if you will. If you want to know what the God who created you, who made you, is like, though you can't see Him, you can tell what He's like by looking at it right here. The man said to Him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He had a host of sins, a whole annals and catalog of sins that he knew he was deserving to die for. Jesus didn't go through all those things. He didn't hesitate. He didn't say, "Let's talk it over. Let's reason out what things you can do for me." All He said in response to that request was, "Truly, truly, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Just think about that for a minute. This is your God. You can't see Him. You've never seen God, and yet God has revealed Himself and is revealing Himself to you right now, speaking to you through me, saying, "This is who I am. The God who made me, made these hands," says, "If you simply repent and ask me and believe on me, I say, truly you'll be with me in paradise." Instantaneously, immediate forgiveness, grace pouring forth, because that's who our God is. He wants to forgive you. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. And all your sins, as black as sin and death as they may be, whoosh, gone in an instant to receive you into what He wants, which is eternal fellowship with Him. So we as Christians have the best of all things. The best, which is forgiveness from God. And God wants us to practice forgiveness also with each other. And this is a very rare commodity in today's world, isn't it? You look at friends. What breaks up friends? It's sin. What keeps friends from coming back together again? Forgiveness. They don't forgive, and therefore, because they don't forgive, they are forever separated because of that sin. It's the only antidote, remember. And that's what leads the same thing to breakups of marriages. It's because of sin that a marriage breaks up. But it's because of forgiveness, if the lack of it in both of them, that ultimately brings the breakup. Now, of course, one partner can be forgiving and the other just a jerk. There may be no remedy in that case, but still, it's forgiveness that brings the couple together again. Same parents to children. And then it elevates and escalates into all kinds of things, so that I was reading the news here and I read a couple of headlines like this. North Korea will mercilessly shoot down U.S. spy planes. Chinese kill weapon gives U.S. cause for concern. Israel's foreign minister says concessions invite war. You know, Sin is what breaks and puts a rift between people and between God. Forgiveness is the only antidote, and only Christians have it. Did you know that? We only are the ones who have true forgiveness. Think of I think Henry the Fourth's Henri, French king, his wife, on her deathbed, was supposed to forgive all the people that had sinned against her, especially Richelieu, who is the treasurer, I think. And she said, "Oh, I forgive him." And then the minister said, "Well, give him then the bracelet from her hand. I don't forgive him that much." That's the way it is with the world. "Oh, I forgive and forget, but oh, I still got it in here, man. I'm holding that grudge against you." And that's why the secular novelist, Margarita Alaski, shortly before her death in 1988, said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." You know, we're the only people in the whole world that got this, that really truly have it. We have it from God, and we're supposed to give it to each other and practice it. And when you have that, that heals. It is the antidote for bringing people together again, healing your own heart, and then also healing your relationship with God and God's relationship with us. So we're talking today about no mean little thing, the greatest key of all and power, forgiveness. So what is forgiveness? Let's talk about that for a minute. Eskimos. There were some missionaries going up to the Eskimos once, tried to teach them about forgiveness. The Eskimos did not have a word for forgiveness, so the missionaries had to search and compound some words to put it together. You want to hear Eskimo as best as I can say it? Esu magi jujun nanir mik. Repeat that. No, I know you can't. That means not being able to think about it anymore. Think about when someone is harsh, does something wrong against you. Oh, it gets in there. But when you forgive them, it doesn't mean you don't remember that they did it. It means you don't remember it against them anymore. You have passed over that sin. Is this the kind of forgiveness that you practice in your life? This is what God wants. He remembers what your sins were, but he doesn't remember them anymore against you because of the blood of Christ and your faith in him. So that's what he wants us to practice with each other, as it says in Psalm 103, "As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That's forgiveness, my friends. Not being able to think about it anymore against the other person. So, let me give you some reasons today why you ought to forgive. Okay? Number one reason, it heals you. Heals yourself. Think about it. If you have sin, poison, grudge, unforgiveness sitting in your heart, it's just like someone injected a poison right in there and it just leaks out in the lymph nodes like cancer to all your body until it eventually kills you. Well, General Lee, after the Civil War, went to a lady's house in Kentucky, I read, and she was still embittered over the North's aggression and how their artillery fire had hurt her grand old oak tree out in the front. She says, "Look at that, General. Look at what they did." And she was not forgiving. And he said to her, "My advice to you, madam, is to cut it down and forget it. For, he says, it's better to forgive injustices of the past than to let them remain and poison your soul." Anybody got any of that out there today? Unforgiveness in your heart? You've all been hurt, okay? All right. You've all been hurt, but have you forgiven? Are you not able to think about it anymore against them? Think about it says in Proverbs 21. "The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no mercy in his eyes." Ooh. Wicked are these ways. Let's take a look, though, at the righteous. It says, Psalm 19, verse 11, "Good sense makes a man slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook an offense." It's his glory to overlook an offense. And what's the result of it for you? Proverbs 14, 30. "A tranquil mind gives life to the flesh, but passion makes the bones rot." If you want a tranquil mind, one way to get it, forgiveness. You can't be holding on to some grudge and think you're going to be tranquil And what does it happen? What happens when you have a tranquil, peaceful, serene mind and conscience and soul? It says it gives life to the flesh. It gives refreshment to your bones. But passion makes the bones rot. So, number one, heals yourself. So if you got any unforgiveness in there today, get rid of it. Gone. Forgive. Don't think about it anymore against them. And the way to do that is remember what the Lord has done for you in forgiving you and apply that also to them. Second reason to forgive others today, heals other people. Heals your relationships with them. Brings them to the Lord. There's a bishop, a missionary to the South Pacific. His name was John Selwyn, I read about. And he was a famous boxer. And he was a very good fighter. And he was speaking a rebuke against one of the natives there in the South Pacific Islands. And the guy got so upset at his rebuke, he clocked the bishop a violent blow on his cheek. And the bishop, although he could have pulverized this guy, just stood there, crossed his hands and turned the other cheek to him, showed him mercy, didn't strike back. The man fled into the jungle. Well, years later, the bishop was sick, and the man, very seriously ill, the man came back to him, professed faith in Christ, wanted to be baptized. He said, "What name do you want to be called as a Christian? A new name?" He says, "John Selwyn, for it is he that taught me what my Lord Jesus Christ is like." You know, it was forgiveness. When you practice it with other people, that's what can win people to the Lord. That's what can work in them when they see you practicing with others. And that's what's going to bring healing in relationships. Now again, I said, you can't control other people, right? Maybe you forgive them, maybe they're still a jerk. All right? Maybe they are just uncorrectable, incorrigible. Well, that's not your concern. You got to do your best. Let them be as they are. And if it's difficult to forgive, remember what Corrie ten Boom said? Nazi Holocaust survivor. Oh, she said, she was staying up at night, nightmares, because she couldn't forgive those Nazis for what they did to her and her family. And she went to actually a Lutheran pastor who said, we have a bell in the bell tower. And we actually ring the bell, but once we stop pulling on the cord, the bell will continue to dong, 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 a few more times, but without pulling on the cord, it slows down eventually and quiets. Well, that's the way it is with us. If someone's really hurt you in your life, it may be very difficult to forgive. And that may take a while. What I say to you then today is what he said to her, keep forgiving. Just don't pull on that cord anymore. After a while, it'll slow down, and it'll be quiet, and the tranquil mind will give life to your flesh. So keep on forgiving, as our Lord said, forgive 70 times 7. Keep on forgiving. That's who your God is. That's who you as his children. That's what he wants you to be like. And then thirdly, we want to forgive because it completes our healing with the Lord. Listen to what it says in Matthew 6:14. Jesus says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds pretty harsh. But that's because our Lord loves harmony. He loves peace. He loves love. He loves mercy. And he won't have anything but that in his kingdom. And it's a delight to forgive. But let's remember, if we don't forgive, neither will we obtain forgiveness. Reminds me of Leonardo da Vinci, who was painting The Last Supper. Remember that? And he got in a bitter quarrel and argument with an acquaintance of his. And he said, I'm going to go out there and draw my enemy's face into the face of Judas. And he went there and drew the likeness of him in there. And then he came over to paint the face of Jesus. And he couldn't do it. Just could not paint the face of Jesus. Until he went back, the Lord revealed his sin. He went back and erased the picture of his friend and drew another face in there. And then he was able to paint the face of Jesus. If you are painting your enemy's face into the face of Judas, if you are unforgiving to them, your relationship with the Lord will be crippled. You can't paint the face of Jesus and see him and at the same time hate your brother. He who loves his neighbor, who hates his neighbor whom he has seen, cannot say he loves God whom he has not seen. So, forgive. But the wonderful thing is, you know, forgiveness is such a blessed, lovely delight to us. And the energy for doing that comes... Yeah, I'll have to forgive this little thing. The energy for doing that, people, is by looking at our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just refresh you one more time today that when that thief was on the cross shedding blood for his sins, only a few feet away was his Savior on a similar cross that he didn't deserve to be on, shedding his blood for that man's sins that they might be forgiven. And your Lord has been gracious to you in the same way, and instantaneously, immediately, without any questions asked, simply you ask, receive me when you come in your kingdom, and the Lord says, truly, truly, I say to you, this day you shall be with me in paradise. The forgiveness, the antidote of God. Practice that with one another. Make it your delight and live in the mercy and love of God your Father. In Jesus' name, amen.